Welcome to Investing in You, hosted by Eric Comelli, the market forecaster who predicted the crash of September 11th in writing in his newspaper column. Eric is the author of the book, The Pattern of Life, How to Make Money in Any Market. Eric is speaking on a cruise this June and invites you to come along to learn the two patterns that predict every market turn. Now, with his irreverent look at markets and money, here's Investing in You.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Comelli coming to you from a brand new show here on KRCN. It's called Investing in You. We're bumping Ray Lucia, and we'll explain what we do that's a little bit different. But in the studio today is Ralph Young as a guest. He's one of my star clients, literally has triple-digit returns, and we'll tell you why and how. And my co-host, Christopher Smith.
How y'all doing, everybody?
We do something very, very different than what you're used to hearing. Usually you hear about what's called fundamental analysis. So this is still an investing show, as the title implies. But we do, instead of fundamental analysis, which is looking at job reports and finding out what the euro is doing, is construction up or down, housing starts, we follow charts. We do technical analysis. In my show notes, I wrote technical A-N-A-L. Which, ironically, is the opposite of what happens. Instead of needing a degree from Harvard in order to study all the different things that go into moving the markets and the economy, technical analysis really focuses on what's happening in the chart that you're looking at. Primarily, we watch the Dow, but you'll see sometimes when housing starts are up, the market will go up. However, the same information, housing starts can be up, and sometimes the market will be dropping because of it. So it's hard to predict just based on that. As technical analysis, we find, especially the way that we do it here, we call it the pattern of life. Pattern of life, we find, is everywhere. So the idea would be get in sync with what's happening. The reason brokers usually don't do that is because they feel like you can't. The reality is you can time markets by understanding these patterns. I've got two people in the studio with me. Co-host Christopher Smith also has learned how to do this. What's your experience, Chris?
As far as finding the right patterns?
That predict turns. Does that really happen? A lot of people say it can't. It can't be done.
Well, I see it everywhere, mainly not on the stock market itself. I've seen on Facebook, for example, on my fan page, there's a chart that shows a number of hits, number of likes, people that are talking about that, for example. And you see these same patterns as well. I've seen them in net revenue in my own business. If I have more time to market and network and promote
my
business, then things go up. As I get busy, I have less time to market and things go down. It's the same principles.
It's a known pattern.
Yeah.
And we see the same thing in the market. It's just not as simple as what you just said. Ralph, why don't you chime in? You've been doing this, I think we talked probably 3 years ago almost, and have you seen that these patterns do predict market turns?
I have. I've actually seen remarkable adjustments to my own trading methodology by adding Fibonacci and Elliott waves and understanding the dynamics that they fairly are predictable within a cycle time. Myself personally, I trade naked options, which is a far more risky investment than most. But the reality is the returns are phenomenal when we hit the right side of the market.
Exactly.
And all my life, I don't think I've ever traded to make money on the downside of the market when it was falling until after we talked and I learned more about what you do. Now I almost always trade on a negative market as opposed to a positive one.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you listeners will learn is some of you already know about making money as markets fall. But that's actually one of my specialties. But so is timing. Learning when to invest is really the secret. I think, Chris, I had you look up, do a Google search on how to invest. How many hits came up?
Well, over 400 million.
400 million.
Yeah.
As far as I know, there's probably a couple shows out there that talk about when to invest, but as far as I know, this is really the only one. Knowing when to invest is the secret to, you know, turning around the profits. So one of the ways you can look at that is think about planting your tomatoes. You know, it's March now, it's warm, it's getting nice, but it's probably still a little bit early. But if we went and tried to plant tomatoes in November, what's going to happen? It's going to be a disaster, right? You go plant a tomato bush and then it snows on them and it dies. Well, it's the same thing when you're investing. If you go, use a perfect example, in October of 07 and you're planting, to use the euphemism, you're planting dollars in this case, then what happened? You lost and lost and lost. AOL was $105 a share in October of 07. It fell below $5 a share. Much better to plant or buy in the spring, March of 09 in this case. It's the same thing. So if you scatter some seeds with tomatoes, you might have something in spring. But the reality is you're going to have a much better crop by planting at the right time. What's nice is we're not just talking about tomatoes. We're talking about your future. If you invest in the right time, you can have hope again. 95% of the population has virtually no chance of investing enough, if they get started late, in order to have enough to retire. Forbes magazine says you need over $2 million in order to retire. I read a study by a financial planner. They think you need about $2.6 million. Most people can't save that. But if you amplify the returns, Ralph talked about taking a little bit of risk, but he only does it with a very small portion of his investable assets. This is a reason for hope, because people can catch up by investing wisely at the right time, but also taking very small calculated risks. So it's a reason for hope. Chris, you talked about that cycle of rising and then falling because you got so busy, and then but then the business falls off a little again, so because you haven't been planting those marketing seeds, for example.
Not only that, but the emotional impetus to market is there too. I'm not making as much money, so I'm not able to pay the bills as much, so I'm much more motivated to market more and more and more.
Sure. On that rise, you made more, so we're more comfortable and you felt less pressured. Think about, and you probably have seen this, every multi-level person goes through this. I think every brand new realtor goes through this same cycle, and you're going to see this in market. So those new reps, whether it's a realtor or somebody in a multi-level, they start off with all kinds of enthusiasm and intention. They're doing the things that their marketing manager suggested, that they go out there and they talk to their warm market, their friends. They maybe put some flyers on doors around them, get on social media, talk to their people on Facebook and that sort of thing. So what happens? Lo and behold, they get some business. So it's like planting seeds. Well, it's just like Chris was just talking about, that it leads to business. Well, then that psychological weight comes off. It's like, oh, thank God, I thought I was going to starve. So a lot of people don't like to prospect. So they go do the things in the business that they were more interested in the first place, and that might be writing the contract and showing the homes, or shipping deliveries and checking in with clients that they make sure they're happy. Well, the reality is they stopped doing the marketing that Chris was just talking about. So then there's a slow period. But the when you plant seeds, the nature of seeds is that they come back, that they bear fruit. So there's that bump. So just as they were starting to get worried, they got encouragement, more business, and they're like, oh, see, I knew it. I knew it was going to be okay. And they continue kind of sloughing off, because you got to keep that marketing going, it seems. So that was a rise. It started at zero. They had a rise, and then things started to a fall, and then it rallied because of that new business, and then it fell again. So there's a couple things that happen. Sometimes it's a spouse saying, hey, babe, we got a mortgage coming, a mortgage payment due. Or maybe it's their own intention saying, you know what, I can do better than this, and I've already proven to myself that this works. So they get back at it. They do that marketing that they knew that they had to do, and lo and behold, that leads to another rise. So that's what's in markets. There's a fall-rally-fall pattern, and there's a rise-fall-rise pattern, and that's how corrections happen. There's only two patterns. One of them is pattern of three. I just described that. And in the future, we'll talk about the pattern of five. So in a bit, we're going to learn from Ralph Young about his success with this, literally making triple-digit returns in a year. We're also going to learn about his business. He's got some interesting insights for every business owner out there, and some pretty interesting experiences. He's been at the top of several industries. So we'll look forward to hearing from him in just a moment. Right back with this. Hope everybody loves this music as much as I do. Welcome back to Investing in You. I'm your show host, Eric Jamelli, here with Christopher Smith and Ralph Young. I want to introduce Ralph to you for a couple reasons. One is he's one of my star clients. I just know that there's going to be people who say, you can't predict the market. You can't anticipate what it's going to do precisely within a day or even an hour. And the reality is I do it all the time. You might as well tell me I can't breathe. But Ralph is a client, so not only has he witnessed me do it, but I also taught the method to actually both him and Chris. But we're going to be getting into his results in the next segment. Right now, I'd like him to tell us about his company. He owns Word of Mouth Marketing. I'm a client of his, and very happy with the things I've learned from Ralph. But tell our audience about what Word of Mouth Marketing is about.
Well, Word of Mouth Marketing is an organization that basically helps professionals and corporations communicate more effectively and generate more referral business. Our main focus is, of course, helping professionals stay in touch with their clients and building the type of relationships that actually allow for referrals. But when we think about referrals as a whole, what we find is that most people really don't know how to refer us. Most people just wait to be asked for a resource or an asset, and then they share us, well, willingly. There's also a problem with when they share us. In many cases, they don't know how to connect us or connect the referral with us, and although their efforts were in our behalf, we never got a phone call. So what I do is I work with professionals to teach them how to effectively change that by creating paradigm shifts in the way people think about us and the way people communicate about us to others. We do that through touch programs and follow-up programs. We also do it through linguistics and communication skills. We teach a course called BEEP, which is an acronym for Behavioral, Emotional, Agenda, and Permission-Based Communications. What BEEP provides for people is...
Let me join in with there about the permission-based, because, you know, I've been in sales for 30 years, and I find, you might have been the one that taught me this, I just kind of incorporate things, but by asking permission... You know, nobody wants somebody to blather on. They're just looking for a reason to cut you off. But when you ask permission, it changes the whole dynamic of the conversation.
Well, it does. The primary consideration is polar opposites between permission and imposition.
Exactly.
When someone tells you, hey, go do that right now, what is stimulated in you emotionally?
Exactly. Resistance.
Resistance, pushback, adversity. Why do you want to stimulate that if you don't have to? But we do because we're intolerant or impatient, and we impose our needs on others. When we do, we suffer the outcome of their pushback. When one asks permission gives people the ability to say no without ramifications, without consequence.
Exactly.
Imposition, they don't feel that. So by asking permission, it's a lot easier for people to say yes to us because they don't fear the pushback from ramifications or consequences. It makes it a lot easier, again, for people to say yes.
I'll say having used your techniques, it's a more pleasant way of doing business, too. Instead of having a wrestling match with somebody, you know, at least even having that perception, I just go in, it's like, well, you know, if he gives me permission, great. If not, that's okay, too.
Exactly right. Because, again, it's not imposed on them to a point where they're going to push back or avoid you.
Right.
It's just like when you were a child growing up and you asked for something. if you asked permission, most of the time you got it, or you got at least a logical reason why you couldn't have it. When you told your parents what you wanted, on the other hand, well, they told you what was real. And unfortunately, that wasn't what you wanted.
So, I would rather go out and make friends.
And the reality of using permission does just that. When we meet someone in a transactional environment, what do we see? We see that they look at us as a vendor. They categorize us, classify us. And by giving us a label, their minds follow the label and their behavior follows their mind. If I think of you as nothing more than a vendor, anytime you call me, you're bothering me.
Right.
If I think of you as a friend, anytime you call me, I welcome you. Which type of relationship do you want to have with your clients? And do you know how to get there?
Certainly. And I'm a client of some of Ralph's clients, which means I get some of those gifts in the mail, and I really enjoy them. There's, for instance, I love, you know, I'm Italian, so which means I, of course, love food. And I get free gift certificates to some of the best restaurants around.
Well, you know, when you're sending people gifts, the reality is if they expect them, well, then there's nothing special. If they don't expect them, they're surprised by it, and they're humbled by the process.
And grateful.
Well, in most cases. Occasionally you'll find the skeptic or the cynical individual that turns around and says, well, gee, why are you sending me these things? What do you really want? And, of course, what we really want is just a relationship. But their cynicism is already saying that you want more business, and I don't want to be bothered. And if you don't have to trigger that emotion, just think of how much easier it would be to capture referrals by never triggering the adversity to begin with and guiding them successfully down a comfortable path of submission.
Exactly. Now, I recall somewhere you told me that Harvard was pretty impressed with the results of your study. And didn't they publish the results somewhere?
Actually, we did a survey. We had Harvard do a survey for us that we paid for back in 2002. And the survey was basically formulated around referrals and the psychology of behaviors of why people give referrals and why they don't. What the survey disclosed was that it's a lot easier to work with people that you have a better rapport with. And if they don't feel like you're trying to sell them or push them, they'll work with you. But when it comes to referrals, most people don't come to meet with a professional to refer. They come to buy a product or service that meets their needs.
Right.
And then when we ask for referrals, it's sort of almost like an expected thing. Hey, I did my job. You paid me for my job. And now why don't you help me out by giving me more business by introducing me to your friends?
That's not what the customer's thinking.
Well, they're thinking, I don't want to sig you on my friends.
Right.
What kind of an impression am I going to create? And what kind of influence is that going to have on my relationship?
Exactly.
So what we do is we basically take a different tack to how we communicate our message to people through permission. Two primary reasons why people don't refer us business in any walk of life is primarily fear of reciprocity. If I refer you and you screw up, whose fault is it? And who reaps the challenges of that relationship?
Right.
On the other hand, if I never have to refer you, I don't have to think about those things. The other reason is lack of permission. Well, I paid you to do a service, not to ask me for things that I didn't agree to. So if you haven't asked permission for me to generate referrals for you and for me to be involved, then you've in fact imposed your needs again.
So you have seminars on this. How do people find you if they want to learn some of these things?
Oh, they can go to my website, touchyourcustomers.com. If they'd like information on the seminar, just click on the BEAP link. That's BEAP. And you can get all the information you need as to what kind of gains you'll achieve by learning these new methodologies.
Is that the best way, or is there a phone number, too, that would be?
Oh, they can certainly call me directly at 720-319-1969. But the major benefits of our seminars and our workshops are that, well, what would life look like for you if you never had to sell again and close more business than ever before?
Right.
That's what we promise you. We promise you the ability to know and understand what the top 1% in your people, 1% of the people in your field already know. And that's how to communicate with emotion and permission in order to accomplish greater results, far more referral opportunities, and much better returns.
So I have a question for you. I know you have a seminar coming up, and this taping gets aired a week from now. So it's going to happen on Monday, but people won't hear this till Friday. Tell us, predict the future for us. Tell us how that seminar is going to go.
Well, basically, everyone's going to learn how to communicate more effectively with less effort. They're going to walk out the day after the seminar, and they're going to actually apply one or two of the skill sets I'm going to teach them, and they're going to instantly observe a different result than they've gotten in the past, most likely far better and more collective than anything before.
So people are hearing this on Friday, and you just predicted what's going to happen on Monday, but they're hearing it in a past tense.
Well, yes, because I can predict from observation of the hundreds or possibly thousands of people I've trained over the last year and a half on these formulas.
That's exactly right. And I'm making the connection that it's the same with markets, that based on certain patterns, certain predictable events, that we can tell what's going to happen in the future, even though most people think of it as unknown, but it's not. Think of the next Nicolas Cage movie. I don't even know when it's going to come out, but I'm guessing it's going to be bad, based on the last 10.
Well, like anything else, based on observation, we can see whether or not things become more successful or less. The bottom line is that using your comparison, I've used the same concepts and principles to trade. And my end result is phenomenal, yielding me far greater returns than my major portfolio with far less money.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned. In the next segment, Ralph's going to tell us about his experience learning how to make a couple 100% in just 1 year. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to 1060 The Biz, KRCN. I'm Eric Jamelli, host of Investing in You, along with Christopher Smith and Ralph Young. Ralph is here today. He's an old client in more ways than one. And he started with me about 3 years ago. He started as an experienced trader, but I think, well, I'll let Ralph say. What was the difference about the process that I taught you versus what you already knew?
Well, what I already knew basically was working with fundamentals. I would do my research about companies. I would trade stocks specifically that I felt had the best potential for movement based on the news that was coming out and the news that I anticipated. Forward-looking projection for the most part, like anybody else, looking for reasonably valued stocks. But after meeting with Eric, the fun really started because I've always traded options, very risky investment to begin with. For those of you who know how options work, they're basically buying something that you really didn't buy. You're buying the right to buy something within a timeline. When the timeline expires, if you haven't sold those rights, then you've lost the total investment. So they are the riskiest form of investment, but they also yield the highest possible returns. Over the first year after learning Eric's new method and actually trying it out based on what I saw in the trends in the market itself, I was actually able to trade when the market was going down, predicting that it would. And working with several different stocks as well as options, I was able to make quite a bit of money in returns.
So let me jump in there. About 3 months into our relationship, our professional relationship, you shot a testimony for me. In fact, it's on my website. If people want to go to market4caster.com, then people can hear that. And at that time, you had made 99%. In just, I remember you saying, 3 or 4 trades, I believe, is what's on there. How did you finish out the year?
The first year after following your guidance and using some of the methodologies along with my understandings of the market, I think I was at 343% return.
I think
$5,000 had been turned into almost $19,000.
Oh, that's amazing.
What I did with that is I paid off a bunch of credit cards and some debt, brought it back down to about 4,000 left in the portfolio. That portfolio is now back up to about 12,000 over the past 2 years. I have not traded much. I think I've executed a total of about 30 trades on the average a year. Most of those trades lasted less than 2 weeks in the market, in some cases, even the same day I was in and out.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me about a couple. Yeah, you made, 40-50%, you thought, in the morning, and thought, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, and if I had I stayed for the rest of the day for that particular one, I would have gained about another 60%.
Yeah, that happens.
Because when the market's dropping 200-300 points at a shot, you know, there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. I think markets fall as an average about three times faster than they rise. Certainly, you could go back to 2002 to 2007. You know, it took 5 years for it to go up, and it lost more points in the year and a half that the market fell from 07 to 09, so in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stocks that people can buy that go up when the market goes down. Chris, you've kind of gotten good at that. Haven't you found that you can find some turns when the market's falling and being able to pick up some nice returns?
Absolutely. There's lots of ways to do that. Exchange-traded funds, inverse funds, for example.
Right.
Finding funds that or companies that are their industry is the inverse of other industries.
So, listeners, you might want to go to market4caster.com. That's my website. And the very first testimonial you'll see is Ralph, the person that you just heard speaking. On that testimonial, we had a professional relationship for only about 3 months, I think, at that time. I think you were three or four trades in and had made 99% of that time. People will be able to listen to that there. So how did the year finish up for you?
Well, the year finished up very successfully. I probably made another 20 or so trades and ended up 343% gains. My $5,000 portfolio escalated to about $19,000.
I think that's worth repeating. I'm not sure people heard you right. 343% in 1 year.
On $5,000.
Yes. So a mutual fund, typically they're thrilled if they can make 10%. So in simple interest, you made more than 30 years worth of interest in that 1 year.
Yes.
What made the difference?
More knowledge.
More knowledge. What knowledge helped you?
Using Fibonacci and using some of the other methodology.
The pattern of life,
the pattern of life that you showed me. And it just all made sense. It integrated very well with fundamentals. And it gave me, a clearer, more broad vision of what I was doing and the confidence to trade more risky investments. Normally, in my past, I've traded options and yeah, you put money into an option, 5 minutes later it could turn south, and
exactly.
You know, it's 100% is gone. That's not for the lighthearted.
So you were an experienced trader. Chris, you were a brand new trader when you started learning how to do the pattern of life and just learning the basics about trading ETFs. How did things work for you?
After I got my head around some of the concepts in the pattern of life and the Fibonacci sequence, which I've always been a fan of, numbers and mathematical patterns and whatnot. It took me probably about 2 weeks, but I managed to double my account twice.
Oh, fantastic.
In about a 30-day period.
That's fantastic.
At the time, I didn't have much money in my account. So it was literally
okay.
Play money.
Whether it's $1,000 or $100,000,
that's right.
The math works the same.
That's right. But I used the concepts, applied those principles, and it was phenomenal. So I didn't make that much money, but if I had several thousand dollars in there, probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
One of the themes of this show, and you've just heard two examples of that, is hope. If you take $1,000 and double it 10 times, that's $1 million. So a lot of people have had life happen to them. I think everybody over 40 has had maybe a divorce, kids get sick, a layoff, bankruptcy, something you know, happens. It's just life is not this smooth, linear thing that we think it's going to be when we're kids. So you've both just illustrated how you can play catch-up by understanding where the turns are, and that seems like the difference. Chris, there was 400 million searches mm-hmm. on the Internet, not searches, but links that will show you about how to invest. As we said earlier, there's not too many places you can go in order to find out when to invest. And literally, we time things down sometimes to minutes. I was on vacation. Yeah,
Chris, standing over your shoulder.
I was on vacation in Michigan from Colorado, and just my brother standing in the door. I'm like, wait a second, I'm in the middle of a trade. I've got to get out. And it turned out it was 5 minutes within the turn. So, I like the example, Ralph. that you, we talked about earlier, you had a large account but made more with just 3% doing the things that we talked about.
Basically a managed portfolio that I have an advisor managing. It's definitely risk-adverse investments, but nonetheless, $500,000 did not yield the type of returns that $5,000 did in the same period of time.
That's remarkable.
Well, it is when you consider that, you know, you expect $500,000 portfolio to return at least 5%, 10% in a year. That's what you hope for.
Right.
Here I made $5,000 turn into 20.
You introduced me to, I should have cleared this with you before, but you introduced me to a financial planner in Boulder. Did he happen to comment on, he ended up becoming a client, did he happen to comment on his results or, you know, his opinion?
You're talking about David?
David, yes.
Actually, we have not had conversations. So.
Okay, I'll just have to bring him in. So you've been hearing Chris and Ralph talk about the program that I teach. I offer organized classes in this. You can go to market4caster.com and learn more. But on there is the basics. I literally teach you how to do some of the things that we've been talking about, show you those patterns in order to see. I have three different ways that I teach people. Right now I'm doing it one-on-one across the table from people. Generally we'll meet at Starbucks or my office or your office, depending on location. And we'll just have a conversation about how these patterns work and teach you how to break it down. I have 17 trading rules, and I teach you those. 10 are around the trade, 7 are around the forecast. So a lot of people just don't have the discipline to trade well, so they have often good instincts. A lot of people knew that Ford was going to be a good buy at 2. Well, when you have an organized class and you have a newsletter coming, then it gives you the confidence to move forward on some of those good guesses. So I have a one-on-one class. I have a newsletter that comes for a year, twice a month, showing you my picks, also continuing the education. And then I also have refresher classes. They're around north and south in Colorado. So depending on where you live, it'll be more or less convenient. But we very often do them at my office, and we'll pick out opportunities. Maybe it's in gold. Maybe it's in a particular stock. Maybe we're just picking where the Dow's going, and you can plan an ETF like SPY or something to buy off of that. So stick around. We're going to have our fourth segment here and a lot more good information for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Investing in You. In the earlier segments, we heard Ralph Young talk about his company and trading experience. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to those segments on 1060thebiz.com. That's the station's site. Ralph, one more time, just give us how people can contact you.
Oh, they can contact me by phone at 720-319-1969. Email ryoung@wordofmouthinc.com. And they can go to my website for more information at touchyourcustomers.com.
Very good. Thank you. So in the previous segments, we were talking about the patterns that predict the turns in the market, because they're in the market, but they're also everywhere in your life. And Chris is a student. Ralph has been a student. They both had phenomenal success. Chris, tell us about your experience, not just in trading, but in the learning process.
As far as learning the pattern in life, seeing the patterns in the charts and how to apply them.
Tell us about the learning process and how it took maybe a little bit of time, but once it took, then you understand.
Okay. One of the things I really liked about the way you taught it was that you have to chart the Dow every day. You basically just pen and paper, just chart it every day. And after a while...
I suggest pencil.
Pencil is fine, too. See, you threw me off there, Eric, but that's all right. After a while, something clicks, and you actually are able to see the patterns. They'll jump out at you from the page or from the screen if you're on a trading site or something like that. And that's pretty much how things work. If you want to build your body up, you have to do some push-ups every day, and you're not going to build your body in a day. Ralph did not get his insight into neuro-linguistic programming by simply making one sale. It took hundreds or thousands of sales to eventually get that knowledge.
Not to mention 6 years of education.
That too. But you didn't get that from going to one class.
No, absolutely not.
Right, right. Another example, I always like to refer back to patterns of life, not to coin a phrase, but take bamboo, for example. Bamboo is probably one of the most difficult plants to actually get going. The soil's got to be at the right pH. It's got to be at the right temperature. If the soil's too wet, the seeds will rot. If it's too dry, they obviously won't germinate. And it takes years, sometimes three to 5 years, to actually get a bamboo grove going. But once it's going, I've heard stories of people that have had to remove the top 6 inches of soil out of the property just in order to get it to stop, because nothing they can do can stop it. And that's pretty much the way the learning process in here works as well. Does that make sense, Eric?
It does. I think charting every day, like you said, will help people, mm-hmm. but it's going to take a long time if they don't know what they're looking for. The first thing they might start with is looking for that rise, fall, rise, mm-hmm. or the fall, rally, fall. Those are patterns of correction. In fact, you could go and look back at the recent Dow, and there's essentially a sideways pattern. Well, that's just a correction, and it's setting up for the spike that happened afterwards. There's a second pattern, and that is a pattern of five. And probably the easiest way to learn this is to go to my website, market4caster.com. But what's unique is these two patterns are everywhere in life, and that's why we call it the pattern of life. For instance, a chunk of metal sitting in the ground, whether it's silver, gold, copper, platinum, palladium, they all have the same pattern in there. They move in patterns of five and three. I predicted in a column 10 years before the tsunami in Japan that where their economy was going based on the patterns. I knew it was due for another fall, rally, fall pattern. But silver, for example, a chunk of metal sitting in the ground has the exact same pattern in it that, say, something that's weather-dependent has. Wheat, corn, oats, soybean meal, they all have the exact same pattern of fives and threes. So that suggests that there's something very fundamental going on. Chris has talked about seeing it in the first segment in his business cycles. I've predicted people's weight based on the patterns that I saw in their charts. And I'm kind of known as the guy who predicted the market crash of September 11th in writing in my newspaper column. It's a little bit like being Rudy Giuliani. I did one good thing, and I get to talk about it forever. But the way I predicted that is because of this series of fives and threes, these patterns of fives and threes that come together over and over and over. The trick is learning how to string them together. I learned how to do this over 15 years ago from a master trader. He had seats on the exchange at the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago. He was a floor trader. He's one of those guys jumping around like you've seen in the movies, like trading places, you know, where they're pushing and shoving and waving their hands around. But literally the man's trading sometimes $100 million at a time in, you know, just by waving his arms around, unloading or buying and selling $100 million of the S&P. So he taught this to me. I think it was Providence that had us get together, because when we met, he was probably twice my age. So really, you know, how often do you hang out with people who are half your age? So, but he took a liking to me for some reason and eventually offered to show me these patterns. So these patterns are not just in metals, not just in wheat. They're in the hog market. That's on my website. They're in the bond market. They're in the currencies. They all move according to this. And just like I described earlier in the earlier segment, when a realtor or a multi-level person or any sales position, they start very similar, you know, where there's this initial excitement that takes off, but then they start lagging, whether it's relief psychologically, like Chris said, you know, just, oh, good, I'm not going to starve, or they get busy, you know, with other things. So these patterns are everywhere. That's why we call it the pattern of life.
Well, Eric, you know, you bring up a very salient point, but I think it's very important to realize that it's not just about reading charts and understanding charts. It's about understanding the rules that apply to each trend that we're looking at to be able to predict when a market's actually going to turn.
Right. I have 7 rules that I put around the forecast and 10 around the trade.
And I think that, you know, once people actually understand those, the information becomes much clearer and its application becomes much more realistic.
Yes. But I also like, and people have told me this, clients have said, instead of crossing their fingers, wishing and hoping it works out, a lot of times we get it right and then we just go nail it and make a bunch. But sometimes I'm wrong and we also limit risk, and that's one of the key things.
Well, and in your trading model, basically, don't you put in stops at about 10% loss potential?
Absolutely. In fact, if people do the 3 things I recommend, they can go read it in my agreement. I'll actually guarantee that they're going to make money.
Well, I know I have, certainly. It's been very, very fruitful to learn these new methodologies. And as I apply more time to it, I make more money. So I'm very pleased.
Thank you, Ralph. Chris, you've seen these patterns that I was just discussing in other places. Tell us about that.
And that's what really got me interested in all this in the first place, Eric, because you do see patterns like these everywhere. If you were to chart echo reverberations, for example, anybody who's been caught in a torrential downpour in a storm has probably noticed that the waves of rain come and go in literal waves. They build, and then they go back down. Independent movie I've seen once called Pi mentions patterns like the rise and fall of caribou populations, sunspot cycles, disease epidemics, spirals form when you put cream in your coffee. Earlier today, I was looking at a chart of the population growth in Peoria, Illinois. Same chart patterns there.
What, you're seeing the patterns, the fives and threes that we talk
about?
Yeah,
okay. The fall, rally, fall, and all of that. I've seen it once in a chart of global computer virus and spyware activity, hard disk drive geometry health reports, processor usage statistics, and they're everywhere. So the point here is that, yes, you absolutely can predict movements in the stock market or any natural system because the same fundamental forces and rules are at work. If you look at the patterns that Fibonacci found, they dovetail right along with patterns Leonardo da Vinci found, called the golden ratio, as just 2 examples. And these patterns are completely predictable because they're everywhere in life, which is why I think you call it pattern life.
Exactly. We'll do a whole show on Fibonacci, or at least a whole segment, so we'll talk about that in the future. But I wanted to comment, you know, Chris is an expert on computer repair, and so when he talks about those things, that's something he really knows. So it's the weekend. Let's have some fun. I had a great meal at Vesta's Dipping Grill the other day, and I had some friends in town. We wanted to go someplace good for a birthday, and it was a fantastic meal. Looking to go back. Ralph?
I just want to add one thing. The reality is that what you teach, it's not difficult. It doesn't take an intelligent person to adapt to it.
Not at all.
It's just a question of understanding some basic rules and some basic views. And, gosh, the rest is just amazing.
Well, perfect. Thanks, Ralph.
You've been listening to Investing in You with your hosts, Eric Gamelli and Christopher Smith. Investing in You is a show dedicated to educating and informing the investing public. The ideas and opinions stated on the show are for informational purposes only. Investing in You, Eric Gamelli, and Christopher Smith are not investment advisors or broker-dealers. We cannot and do not give investment advice. The stock market carries risk. You could lose some or all of your investment. We suggest you contact your personal investment representative or call Wes Madsen to discuss suitability for your individual investment. Contact information for Les and all of our show sponsors is on market4caster.com. Thanks for listening.